Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Chris Gasper, and welcome to the Season Ticket Podcast for Thursday, January 18th. Once again, we're going to go behind enemy lines. We know the Patriots are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So we now go down to Jacksonville, where Gene Frenette, sports columnist for the Florida Times-Union and Jacksonville.com, joins us via telephone. Gene, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Chris.
So I want to start with this, because I thought you had an interesting column today talking about the Jaguars versus the Patriots. I think a lot of people are not really giving the Jaguars much of a chance in this game, despite their great defense. I think a lot of people are looking at this matchup and they're sort of going by brand name. Brady, Belichick, the Patriots, they're the biggest brand name in professional football. The Jaguars really don't have a brand name. They're sort of an off-brand football team until this year. But if you just look at these teams, I sort of agree with what you wrote today, which is the idea that when you look at Belichick's team, there's no aura of invincibility attached to this particular group of the Patriots. Is that the way the Jacksonville players feel, or is that just your opinion?
Well, that's basically my opinion. But, you know, I mean, the Jaguars aren't going to tell you, you know, how they really feel about the Patriots. I mean, they're going to express confidence for themselves. And as we all know, Jalen Ramsey had his profane remark at the celebration on Sunday night.
I ain't got too much to say, but y'all make sure y'all bring that same energy out here next week and the week after. We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that.
Which he apologized for on Twitter about an hour later for using the profane language he did. But, you know, the Jaguars themselves are going to have confidence regardless of who it is they play. I mean, that's just the way that group is. You know, it was a little bit surprising last week that they gave up the amount of big plays that they did, but they've been a little bit vulnerable to the big play here in the last, I'd say, month and a half. But, you know, certainly not the volume that Pittsburgh threw at them. I mean, three of those touchdown passes by Ben Roethlisberger, deep balls were in tight coverage. It's not as if they were running wide open. He just put the ball in a perfect spot each time. But I do think that the Jaguars' defense, and I'm willing to bet Belichick is a lot more concerned about this defense than maybe any other defense he's played this year, because it's got the two things that Belichick loves: speed and flexibility. You know, when the Jaguars and the Patriots hooked up in that playoff game 10 years ago, and Tom Brady went 26 for 28 with two drops in that game. Well, that Jaguars defense played totally conservative and vanilla. They kept everything in front of them, and Tom just dinked and dunked his way down the field. You know, so that's how the Patriots won that game, even though the Jaguars offensively went toe-to-toe with them for quite a bit in that game. But this defense has got so much speed, so much flexibility. And I think you'll see it in the way they'll try to cover Rob Gronkowski in the game. They're going to mix things up. They might even throw Jalen Ramsey on them for a few plays whenever Rob Gronkowski lines up on the outside. They'll try Tashaun Gibson as long as he's healthy enough to play the safety. They'll try him. They'll try Telvin Smith. They may also try Miles Jack. So there's a multitude of options that the Jaguars can go to try to cover Gronk. Now, they can try all those things, and it still may not work. But it's not like they're, as Belichick said, this defense is not a one-man band.
No, it's definitely not a one-man band, and it's a very impressive defense when you look at what they've been able to do this year on defense. They were second in the NFL in sacks during the regular season. They had four players who had more than eight sacks, and they have some of the components that you need, Gene, to be able to bother Tom Brady, and that's the ability to get pressure just with that front four and then a very good secondary behind that front four, and also speed at the linebacker position. So I actually think that when you look at it, the Jaguars, I think, match up defensively better with the Patriots than most teams.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because last week I was talking to I won't name the Jaguar who told me this, but he said that going into the Steelers game, he said he felt that the Steelers would be a tougher matchup overall than the Patriots, which I thought was a interesting comment to make, but I'm sure a lot of that was tied to the fact that he didn't think that the Patriots offense, as strange as this sounds, would be as problematic for this particular defense as the Steelers, who, as you know, have a very vertical passing game, whereas the Patriots are just the opposite, much relying more on shorter precision routes. You know, that said, that doesn't mean that Tom Brady can't go out there and the Patriots walk away with a 31-13 win tomorrow, because the one thing, or excuse me, on Sunday, is the one thing none of us know going into a football game is what is the turnover difference going to be. The Jaguars have been 2-0 on the plus side in both of their playoff games. Blake Bortles has not made a turnover since his final play in the season-ending game, which was an interception against the Titans. That's the last time he made a mistake that was costly. But I can't escape the feeling that somehow the Jaguars are going to have a turnover this game against Belichick's defense. That's just a gut feeling more than anything.
Well, it happens to a lot of teams, I think, who obviously come up here. And the Patriots defense, statistically, is not what the Jacksonville defense is, but it's still top five in scoring. And they do a good job of taking advantage of other teams' mistakes. And really what happens a lot of times with the Patriots, Gene, and I'm sure you've seen this on film or just watching them play, is that Tom Brady and the need to sort of keep up with that offense adds another layer of pressure to the opposing quarterback and the opposing offense, and they tend to press a little bit, and that plays right into the hands of the Patriots, because the Patriots are a defense that's built not to give up the big play, which is what was so weird about them those first four games of the season when they went 2-2. They were giving up a lot of big plays. And that sort of leads me here to Blake Bortles, because I think one of the biggest questions people have about this game is, if the Patriots say to Blake Bortles, you have to beat us, and here's how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to string together four or five drives that are 7, 8, 9 plays. We're not going to give up the big play. And you have to be accurate and throw the football into tight windows repeatedly. We're going to make you do that to beat us. Is he capable of doing that from what you've seen this year?
He's capable, but I don't know if he's capable for 60 minutes. Blake can be very up and down, and he can have his moments where he's going to frustrate defenses because he's athletic enough to make a good play, and he's certainly athletic enough and mobile enough to extend a play and, you know, and run, you know, 10, 13 yards to pick up that first down on 3rd and 8. You know, he's pretty masterful at doing that. And he doesn't run to the extent that, you know, Michael Vick once did, or even a Marcus Mariota sometimes. He tends to pick his spots a little bit more. But he's made good decisions here in these two playoff games. And I know he only beat Buffalo 10-3, but in that game, it was much, much different, because once the Jaguars got the lead in that game, I think they, you know, that 10-3 lead lasted a long time. And that happened to be that was also the final score. But I don't think the Jaguars ever thought that the Bills were going to be threatening enough on offense to get the tying score in that game. And thus, Blake, the game plan was very, very conservative, very, very vanilla. And then you flip to the next week, and all of a sudden the Jaguars are, you know, breaking out all kinds of play calls, and Nathaniel Hackett's, you know, looking like a modern-day Bill Walsh in that game. And so it's really hard to determine, you know, we say all the time, the NFL's a week-to-week league. Things change up all the time based on matchups. And one of the things that I am looking forward to about this game more than anything else is I think it's going to be a fabulous football chess match between how Belichick and Patricia designed their defense to limit Blake. And I do suspect it's going to be a lot of what you said, that they're going to make sure that Leonard Fournette doesn't get off, and that they don't get that running game going, and that they make Blake have the plays to try to beat them.
Yeah, and they're also not going to want to give up those big plays over the top to, you know, a Keelan Cole or a Marquise Lee, somebody like that. You know, they're going to want to make him, like I said, string together drive after drive, pass after pass, and be able to do that. And look, there are guys who've come here and done that before. I mean, Mark Sanchez is the best example in 2010. Mark Sanchez is not a great quarterback. He never was a great quarterback, but he came here. The Patriots dared him to beat them, and he did. I mean, he had a great game that day, threw 3 touchdown passes. I'll go back to 2015 with Peyton Manning, and you say, well, it's Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton Manning at that point was at the end of his career. He was a clearly diminished quarterback. He still had the mental capacity, but not the physical capacity, and he played well against the Patriots. They sort of went out there, and they had respect for Manning, but they still sort of challenged him and said, we're going to make you prove you can make some of these throws, and he did. So it would not be unprecedented if Bortles came here and was able to make some throws that a lot of people outside of Jacksonville and maybe outside of that locker room don't think he can make. So what is the primary objective for Blake Bortles coming from Nathaniel Hackett and Jacksonville head coach Doug Marrone? Is it simply go out there, don't make a mistake, don't turn the ball over, don't lose the game? Or are there games this year where they let him cut it loose and said, go win this game for us, Blake?
I think the number one priority is ball security. I mean, I don't think there's any question that you're not going to beat the Patriots if you make more than one turnover in the game. That's my feeling. If you have multiple turnovers against the Patriots, you're dead. I just think that it's going to depend on the game situation, Chris. Are they playing? If they're playing ahead, which is where Blake is most effective and is absolutely necessary to be able to beat the Patriots and keep that pressure on them. If they're playing from ahead, I think the mindset's a little bit different. If they're playing from behind, especially if it's more than one score and it's the second half, well, then you have to open things up and take more chances. So I think it's going to depend on the game situation. But there's no question that playing turnover-free is number one. But I don't think it's going to be a situation where at some point you have to allow Blake Bortles to take chances. And Blake Bortles, in my opinion, is much more effective when he's throwing on first down out of play action. Against the Steelers last week, remember I told you how conservative they were against Buffalo?
Yes.
Well, against the Steelers last week, in the first four drives, they scored three touchdowns. Well, they had 12 first down opportunities over the course of those four drives. Well, they had Blake throw on five of those first downs. To me, that's what you have to do. It can't just be run, pass all the time. You've got to be able to mix it up. It wouldn't surprise me at all the first play of the game to see a play action pass.
Yeah, I mean, it would make some sense to try and loosen up that Patriots defense. I think that's, if you're the Patriots, what you're fearing is Leonard Fournette running the football, setting up the play action for those deep shots over the top. So you want to take those two things away. You want to take away Leonard Fournette and take away the play action passing game with some of those deep passes where the Jaguars are getting chunk yards. One thing I want to ask you about, because when I look at the Jaguars, I don't hear about this a lot, but to me, it's one of the keys to their success, the offensive line. I mean, they're number one in the NFL in rushing offense this year, 141.4 yards per game. They only allow 24 sacks during the regular season. That was a franchise record for the fewest allowed. But I don't hear a lot about these guys, and they're not really recognizable names on that offensive line, at least outside of Jacksonville, besides Cam Robinson, who played at Alabama.
Well, the great irony there is the offensive line going into the season was unquestionably the biggest weakness of the team. Part of the reason a lot of us thought that the Jaguars, I mean, I figured going into the season, they'd be about a 7-9, maybe an 8-8 team. And the big reason for my lack of faith in what they've done is I didn't think the offensive line would hold up. But for the most part, it has. There's been some games where they've been a little bit shaky, but for the most part, Pat Flaherty, who ironically for the Patriots was the offensive line coach when they Giants beat them in the Super Bowl, has done a fabulous job with an offensive line that, in my opinion, on paper is just okay. But they've somehow, Brandon Linder, the center, is probably their best lineman. Cam Robinson's probably their next best one. Their guards can be exploited at times, and Jeremy Parnell at right tackle is up and down. They've absolutely held up in this postseason. They did. They had maybe their best game ever last week against the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, they just dominated.
The Steelers are the number one sack. They got 56 sacks this year. They got none against the Jaguars.
Yeah, and they just physically dominated at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Pittsburgh, you could tell early in that game. I mean, they were trying to stop the run. They just couldn't do it. I mean, it wasn't very complicated football. It was, man on man, hat on hat. And the Jaguars were just moving them at the line of scrimmage.
There's no question about that. And that is really the Doug Marrone way. And it's obviously a philosophy that's passed down from Tom Coughlin. If the Jaguars are going to win this game, it comes down to the simple fact that, number one, they've got to stay away from turnovers. But number two, you've got to be able to win these one-on-one matchups. You've got to physically outperform, in situations where you have a man-on-man matchup, whether that's a receiver against a DB, whether that's an offensive tackle against a defensive end. But I'm telling you, the Jaguars, from a pass rushing standpoint, are a load to deal with. Unique Ngakoue, Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Dante Fowler. And Fowler doesn't even start. But those pass rushers are going to be a load for the Patriots to deal with. And I do think, as I pointed out today, I do think the left side of that Patriots offensive line can be a little bit vulnerable to that.
Yeah, like most NFL games, this one will be won at the line of scrimmage. All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, more with Gene Frenette of the Florida Times-Union. We're going to ask him what the Tom Coughlin influence has been on the Jaguars. Patriots fans shudder when they hear that name, Tom Coughlin, because of the two Super Bowl victories he had over Bill Belichick. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it becomes available. All right, back now with Gene Frenette, sports columnist with the Florida Times-Union and Jacksonville.com. As promised, going to ask him about Tom Coughlin. Coughlin is the executive vice president of football operations for the Jaguars. It's his first year there. Of course, he was there when the franchise was founded, led them to the AFC title game in only their second season. What is the Tom Coughlin imprint on the Jaguars' success, Gene?
Well, I think number one is that from the very first day that he came was hired on January 12th of last year, he set the tone that this is going to be about winning. When Gus Bradley was here, he talked so much about the process and about just trying to, get players, going through this whole process of getting to where they could win. But he never really talked about winning. Tom, from the moment he came into the building, was asked a question about that at his opening press conference. And somebody asked him a question about, is there going to be a bigger emphasis on something on winning? And I'm paraphrasing there. And he goes, well, what else is this going to be about if it's not winning? Why are we here for it? It's about winning lunch, about basically saying it's about competing all the time. And it drew a little bit of a chuckle when Tom took umbrage with the question. But that's the mindset that he has come in and set.
One of the things that's unmistakable about Tom Coughlin is he is going to get the maximum effort out of the people he coaches. It doesn't guarantee that they're going to win. But Tom Coughlin gets... He extracts from players the kind of effort that you need to be able to win football games. I mean, Michael Strahan said it when he was with the Giants. He said that, I didn't know if I could last 1 year with Tom Coughlin, but he's glad he did. And I think he's passed on that mindset to Doug Marrone, who's also a Syracuse guy, just like Tom. They're two peas out of the same pod. And they've come here, and Tom Coughlin sets the tone in that building. Doug Marrone is the coach. I mean, Tom Coughlin is not micromanaging Doug Marrone. He lets him coach. He lets him do his job. He lets them, do all the game planning, all that stuff. But behind the scenes, Tom Coughlin is a force in that building. And I think it's made a huge difference with these Jaguars players, because it's a rapid departure from the, sort of feel good, and I don't want to call it Club Med, because that'd be kind of an insult to Gus Bradley, who's a fabulous human being, but he just, for whatever reason, could not get the same mileage out of the players. But I do have to add this caveat: the Jaguars going out in free. Keep in mind why the Jaguars have all of a sudden become this overnight sensation. Just in this past year alone, they added in free agency Calais Campbell, A.J. Bowie, and Barry Church, three huge pieces on that defense. Calais Campbell, don't forget, is the defensive player of the year in the NFL. Pro Football Writers Association named him the defensive player of the year yesterday, okay? And then you add in the draft Cam Robinson and Leonard Fournette. Well, that's five major, major pieces that have just been acquired just in the last 8 or 9 months. And last year before that, you added Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, and you got Malik Jackson in free agency. So there's eight players, including six on defense, that are major components to your football team. That's why,
You know, they've hit, when you hit home runs like that in the draft and hit home runs like that in free agency all in one shot, you're going to get good very quickly, and that's exactly what's happened. That combined with the influence of Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, it definitely changes the complexion of your team. And when you look at the Jaguars roster, again, when we sort of start with this, I said I think a lot of people are just looking at this game and saying Jacksonville Jaguars, and what pops into their mind is futility and losing football. Just look at the roster and look at the players that they have. Forget the name Jacksonville Jaguars and whatever you associate with it, because there's a ton of talent on that team. And I think Dave Caldwell, the general manager, deserves credit for that. He was there before Coughlin. He's done a great job accumulating some of that talent. I do want to keep it on Coughlin, though, Gene, because, like I said, a lot of Patriots fans here sort of have pigskin PTSD when it comes to Coughlin because of the two Super Bowls, Super Bowl 42 and Super Bowl 46. And his ability to go and beat the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and the fact that he and Belichick were assistants together on Bill Parcells' staff with the Giants. So Coughlin is somebody who doesn't look at Belichick as this sort of coaching god. There's no aura there for Coughlin with Belichick. Is that something that you think helps the Jaguars? Because you said he sets the tone in the building. And if the tone is coming from Coughlin, then I would not expect Jacksonville to come in here like some other teams who are sort of chasing ghosts from the minute they step into Gillette Stadium.
I think there's a lot of truth in what you just said. Let me give you a little nugget about Tom Coughlin and Bill Belichick. Okay, they faced each other 7 times. Okay, Coughlin is 5-2 against Belichick. Now, 2 of those wins came when Tom was the first-year coach at Jacksonville and Bill was at Cleveland. So 2 of the wins are there. Okay, but let's just look at the 5 games that Coughlin and Belichick had when Bill was with the Patriots and Tom was with the Giants. All 5 games, and Coughlin is 3-2 in these games, and obviously 2 of those were in the Super Bowl. In all 5 games, the winning coach was trailing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All 5 games, winning coach trailing in the fourth quarter. Those games were decided by 3-3, 4-4, and 1. Last time they faced each other, Steven Guskowski kicked a 54-yard field goal at the gun to win it 27-26.
No, you're right. I mean, it's a great point, I think, with Coughlin. I mean, Coughlin sees Belichick not as one of the greatest coaches of all time, but as a peer, and he's able to sort of humanize him to a point where that intimidation factor, which I think is such a big part of the Patriots' success, particularly at Gillette, sort of goes away. Another big part of that intimidation factor, let's be honest, Gene, is Tom Brady.
The bottom line is that Tom Brady is 7-0 against the Jaguars, and while the Patriot fans may take a lot of comfort in that, I also should remind them that Tom Brady has never faced this particular defense. And I firmly believe that a lot of times, not every game, but when you see a defense like this with this kind of speed and this kind of flexibility, when you first go up against it, maybe for the first part of the game, I think there's going to be some adjusting that needs to be done for the offensive line, maybe for one of the receivers, what have you. Part of the reason why I think the Steelers were able to get 42 points on the Jaguars last week is they had played against that defense before. So physically, they had, you know, even though it was a bad result, and Ben Roethlisberger got intercepted 5 times back in October in a 30-9 Jaguars win, when they faced them the second time, I just don't think it was as the adjustment required to get used to the speed and how good this defense is wasn't maybe as overwhelming as it was in that first game. Well, the Patriots are going to see this now for the first time. And part of me thinks that, you know, the Jaguars defense, I think the first quarter, in my opinion, is going to be huge in this game. What will get established early? Will Tom be able to go and Josh McDaniels be able to design a play script that allows them to go right down the field and score? The Jaguars have been very good most of this year, not allowing any points on the opening drive.
In fact, I think Jimmy Garoppolo was one of the few guys to do it, right?
That's correct, and the other thing is this: you know, Chris, just as well as I do, at some point, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to go, let's go no huddle, let's do it right now, let's go, and it'll be interesting to see how the Jaguars' defense adjusts to that.
Well, I'll say this, Gene: when they do go no huddle, what they're going to try and do is probably trap guys like Marcel Darius, and if Paul Posluszny is on the field, That's a matchup that I know the Patriots like. And going back to that San Francisco game with Jimmy Garoppolo, former Patriots backup quarterback, the Pats traded him out there. One of the plays that really stood out was a play-action pass down the left sideline to Harvard graduate Kyle Juszczyk. And you saw Posluszny get lost in coverage there, sort of have to cover one-on-one against a back, really an H-back out of the backfield. So that's one of those areas. If Posluszny gets stuck out there, they will go no huddle to try and take advantage of him.
Oh, I don't, and that's a smart thing to do, because Paul Posluszny is as fundamentally sound physical player as there is, but he's not as fast as Telvin Smith and Miles Jack. So when he's out there, when the Jaguars are in their base defense, you know, mainly on first and second downs, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Patriots try to exploit that a little bit. Listen, if whether it's Deshaun Gibson not having his foot be well enough to play on Sunday, and you've got Gerard Wilson out there at safety, Tom's going to pick on that. Any little wrinkle where some guy out there is new or they think might be something they can exploit, Tom's going to find it, Bill's going to find it, and they're going to go after it.
Gene, you mentioned, and you've mentioned a couple of times, Tashaun Gibson's foot injury. Can you give us sort of the health update on the Jaguars? Is that the most serious injury for them? Are there any starter? That's the one.
Yeah, he was in a walking boot on Monday, but he was not in a walking boot yesterday. And he was out of the, you know. So now, what does that mean? I really don't know. What I do know is that when he did get hurt on Sunday, he didn't go back in the game. So make of that what you will. But Tashaun Gibson is a very good safety and is very on the back end with Barry Church. That's part of all the flexibility that I was talking about earlier. If you take Tashaun Gibson out and put in Gerard Wilson, who did an okay job against Pittsburgh, he wasn't like burned for or anything like that, but you'd rather have Tashaun Gibson out there than you would Gerard Wilson. And I think if Tashaun Gibson is not out there on Sunday, I think Brady will take an occasional shot down that way.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think, when you look at this, the Jaguars are not a fluke team. I mean, they were third best in the NFL in scoring margin at plus 149. The only teams better, the Patriots and Philadelphia Eagles, both of those teams in the Final Four as well. Gene, you wrote today, with that defense, don't be shocked if the Jaguars pull off the unthinkable. These Patriots are really good, but they're not invincible. Can you give me a score? What do you think is going to happen on Sunday?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I just sent my prediction. I really like the score 20-17. I really like that score, and I have really gone back and forth in my mind who I want to put at 20. And I eventually decided on the Patriots only because I've never seen Blake Bortles down 3 or 4 with 3 or 4 minutes to go and make the game-winning drive. So it'll be interesting, and I do believe that this game is going to come down to the wire. I think Patriots fans are going to be nervous in the fourth quarter.
All right, Gene, we will see. Thank you very much for educating us on the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's Gene Frenette, sports columnist for the Florida Times-Union and Jacksonville.com. Gene, safe travels up here to Gillette Stadium, and we will see you on Sunday.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.